So that's where I ended up, living by myself in a cheap hotel called the Midtown Hotel on Pender Street in Vancouver. It's $50 a week, shows you the quality of the hotel. Didn't have my own bathroom or shower, just a bed. And that's where I lived. So I wasn't running at the time. It just so happens that my brother, my oldest brother, who I worshipped, came back to town. He was working in Tassus. He was a diesel engineer, you know. And as we were running to catch my bus, and it was raining one morning, to go to work. And I hear, Jerry. And I look, and it's my brother, Bill. I say, oh. He says, what you doing here? I said, oh, I'm working here. I'm a painter and decorator. He says, what you doing here? He says, oh, I'm moving to Vancouver. I got a job, and I think it was in Burnaby or Surrey. He says, where are you staying? And I sort of mumbled, the Midtown Hotel, you know. And he told me, where are you staying? It is a nice hotel. He says, come there and I'll have supper tonight. I says, oh, okay. So I went that night. And we're having supper. He says, yeah, I'm looking for a place to stay here. He says, you want to stay with me? I said, Bill, I don't have anything. I just got a small suitcase with my clothes in it. He says, I didn't ask you what you have. I asked if you want to live with me. I said, yes, of course. So 2 weeks later, he told me, I have a place. He says, you come Friday night. He gave me the address. And I went there with my bag, work clothes, one pair of dress clothes, what I call dress clothes. And he lets me in and he shows me this room. He says, this is your bedroom. And there's a bed in there, a dresser, bedside table with a lamp. That's for me. He says, yes. And he said, okay, come, we'll have supper. So he cooked supper. After we ate, we're having tea. And he says, okay, here's how it is. You pay rent. You know, you pay rent. We'll figure it out. But you pay rent. I'm the cook. You know, supper I'll cook. He says, you wash the floors. Sweep and wash the floors. I said, okay. This is glad. I'm thinking back, it's the first time I had my very own bedroom, my own dresser. It was just so good, that's like I was in heaven. And, you know, so I work. I started drinking and doing drugs at the same time. When I was going to work one day and I seen this sign that there's going to be a marathon. So I went and told my brother, I said, hey, Bill, I'm going to run in that marathon. He said, oh, okay. He didn't seem to be surprised or anything, you know, and didn't seem to mean much to him. I said, yeah. So I went out and I bought myself, I remember, Adidas running shoes and Adidas sweatsuit, three stripes. And I started running Queen Elizabeth Park in Vancouver, my circuit. And I, the day of the marathon, I remember going there I don't remember the start. What I remember is that I come to someone says there's 5 miles to go. And I was feeling it. And there's people by the side of the road. And I look, and there's this man comes running out with a sweatsuit on. And it's my brother Bill. He says, "Oh, I'll run the last 5 with you, Jerry." And he starts running beside me. And I started weeping like a baby. I don't remember that finish either, or what we done after. It's funny how that mind works. And then after that, you know, I worked for another year in Vancouver, and I started to get afraid of my drug use, and I told my brother, I said, "I'm going to leave." So I asked, and I told him why. "Yeah," he says, "a good idea." So I left, and I went back to the res, continued to drink, and got labor jobs. But that's where I started to go back to my ways, my healing journey, because I could sweat lodge. I started to work in addictions when I defeated alcohol. You know, and I started to work, and people would say I became a workaholic, so I wasn't doing that much running. I would periodically run. You know, I'd run, but not consistently. Yeah. You know, but I started eventually. Because I was still running away, as I had not dealt with the first cause of what was deteriorating my mind, my body, and my spirit, which, of course, was what happened to me at the residential school. My running away was now work. I'd do it consistently. I'd run away from uncomfortable things. But my physical running, moving faster in a walk, became very inconsistent. Now in my life, one day because of the loss, I went into depression. And I stopped moving. We just sit, literally not move, just sit in my bedroom. And my daughter kept bugging me about going to karate. She signed up for karate. And one night she says, "Dad, it's family night at karate. If you don't come, I'll be all by myself. I'll be the only one without family." So I listened. I said, "Yeah, okay." In my mind, I say, "I'll go once and just to keep her quiet." "Put on your sweats, Dad. Let's go." So I did. And I went, and holy, Sensei lines us up. He's going to show us how to walk. First off, how to stand in the stance. How to hold our arms. How to breathe. So that whole first session was just walking, karate style. He says, "I want to hear you breathe." He says, "When you hear me go, you know, when you hear me counting, I want you to breathe. I want to hear you breathing by hearing you go, psst." So be like a cat going, st, you know, itch, st, knee, st, you know, so we're breathing like a sneeze, watching us. Glaring eyes, look straight ahead, but be aware of what's around you. They come and test our stance, and we're walking, and he's counting, and we're doing that. We have, of course, a warm-up and then a cool-down, and stretching is part of it. But I felt so good. It's the first time I broke my depression line. You know, and it just felt so good. I kept going back, and that was the beginning of my moving faster in a walk, you know, because I started running again. You know, and felt good. But I was running, and after that, I wasn't, like, I wouldn't say I'm going for a 10K run or 20K or anything. I just run. It wasn't until, I think, 1995 that I started running measured distance. I signed up for a 10K at the Pacific Spirit. Working for BCIT, and we had a corporate team, so they said, hey, you want to run our team? I said, yeah, I can do that. I was still smoking cigarettes then, and started drinking Starbucks. And I remember my wife driving me to UBC. I said, stop there on 41st, and I forget the cross street. I said, there's a Starbucks there, and I get a grande Starbucks coffee, had a cigarette on the way to the run. And I think back how silly that was. So I got there and they gave us nice t-shirts with Susan Point art on the front. So I ran. And I done it. But I could feel my lungs. By the time I finished, my muscles. That moment, and I finished, I said, okay, I'm going to start running. And I'm going to quit smoking. And I did. And I was running, and I was on my healing journey. I was doing sweat ceremonies. I was addressing my residential school issues. So it starts out with a 10K run. Then I see signs and advertising about a half marathon. So I say to myself, yeah, I'll do one of those. So I signed up for the Scotiabank from UBC to Stanley Park. Oh, yes, it was a wonderful sunny day. I remember going with these people. And I could feel the distance on this one. But I could run the whole thing. I didn't stop. I remember going across the finish line now. How good I felt that I had covered that distance without stopping. And I seen my wife and my friend. I said, I'm going to do a marathon. So I moved to marathon. And I made that decision. I bought, I think, 3 books about marathon running. Of course, they talk about training schedules, so I started a schedule for myself. And, I chose a program, which consisted of me running 6 days a week. You know, that Sunday was going to be my long run. So I'd take Monday off. So I'd wake up at 5 a.m. and go for my runs along Marine Drive in Vancouver. I started training, and I picked a marathon. It's a Victoria Marathon. So that's how I got into this running. In there's that magical moment of not running away anymore from my problems. I'm running to healing. I'm celebrating life. I'm celebrating motion. That I got out of that depression. The final story I'd like to tell about my running. As I was running, doing these runs, 10K runs, half marathons, marathons. I finished a marathon and I noticed there was a booth there that had Diabetes Canada. So I went up to them and I said, what are you here for? Are you looking for donations? Because my grandson had diabetes. He says, oh yeah, yes we do, but also, you know, we're recruiting people to fundraise for Diabetes Canada. And he said, if you raise enough money, we'll send you to a marathon in Athens, South America, Spain. You know, they had different places. So I looked at it and I took a form and I said, I'd like to do one fundraise for Barcelona, Spain, because allegedly I have Spanish blood in me. So I took the form and I got a hold of them and they said, yes, you have to raise $5,000. And once you do that, we'll buy your plane ticket, your hotel, and your meals, and your entry into a marathon in Barcelona, Spain. So I started fundraising. And I made the mark. Raised over $5,000. I think it was Monday, Sunday, or the weekend before I was to leave on a Friday. I caught the flu. Saturday, Sunday, I'm in bed drinking juice, gallons of juice and ginger ale, and trying to sweat it out of me. I phoned them up on Monday and said, I want to change my venue. I'm in bed with the flu. And they said, sorry, Jerry, we can't do that. We can't get the money back from the ticket we bought or the hotel or your entry into the marathon. I said, okay, I'll still go then. I told my wife, well, even if I'm just a tourist, I'll go look at Spain. So on a Tuesday, I went to do a sweat just flew out of me. Wednesday, two sweats in a row. Slept all day. Thursday, Friday, I took off for Spain. And I got there, and Saturday, that evening, we're having a meet and greet with Team Canada. And I met this man, and he says, how are you doing? I said, I don't know. Because we're picking up our T-shirts and our number and stuff. And I said, I've had the flu. And he looks, me too. He says, I've been over-medicating. I'm taking Tylenol, taking everything. I said, me too. He says, well, let's go on the friendship run on Saturday morning. It's a 5K run, and we'll see how we're doing. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. Got a nice blue T-shirt. Barcelona on there. We went there and we ran the 5K. Oh, it was beautiful. Lots of people all over, from all over. And we finished. We said, yeah, okay, let's do that. I'm going to run. I said, I'm going to walk run though. I said, I'm going to run for 10 minutes and walk a minute. That's how I'm going to do it. He says, yeah, okay, he says. So Sunday morning comes and we get to the start. And got my Team Canada t-shirt on, my number, and we take off. Got my running watch, so I run 10 minutes, walk a minute. Not worried about time or anything. Just gonna make it. Gee, all kinds of people, Africans, you know, big, tall, I don't know, they're Zulu or whatever, running with regalia on, you know. I passed this man who's running and didn't have legs. He's using crutches. And I was going, whoa. So I'm running. My new friend and I got separated because I'm walk-run, and he just wanted to run. So I go along. And the books I read about marathon running, one of them said that you're going to hit the wall at some point. And you're running a marathon, you all of a sudden feel you got nothing left. All of a sudden you got no energy. I think it's 3 miles to go, I hit the wall. Barcelona. Oh no, I can't finish this. And I stopped and I put my hands on my knees and was hanging my head. And I hear this sound in front of me, and it's about, I know, 6, 7 children, maybe 5, 6 years old, standing on the sidewalk. And I stopped and I listened. They're going, "Bravo, Canada, bravo." And they're jumping up and down because I had my Team Canada, the big maple leaf on it. So I look up and I start. I was moving faster than walk, but not that much faster. And I started moving towards them, and they lined up and put their palms in the air. I go by hitting these little hands with my right hand. By the time I get to the last child, and they're saying, "Bravo, Canada," I'm weeping. And I leave them, and they energized me, and I finished. I remember crossing that finish line, the wonderful feelings I had of accomplishment, and also doing something for diabetes. You know, there's so many stories I can tell on my memorable runs. You know, that I started to have these wonderful feelings about life. My love for running came from the stories of my people. And I, with each running goal that I accomplished, I started to know who I was, who Sahil Thid is. I started to feel joy on another level. Joys of accomplishment, of feeling stronger, of having endurance. I was no longer the victim of my past negative experiences. My trauma memories are now no longer victim memories. They are teaching memories. As long as I was a victim, I was angry, afraid, and depressed from day to day, year to year. All of those negative emotions I was feeling toward my abusers, the government of Canada, and the churches, did not impact them or bring any change. What it was doing was making me an unhappy camper, an unhealthy human being. The running helped me to free myself, and the side benefits were my body was stronger and I had endurance. My mind no longer was running the old films of residential school and the mistakes I had made and my path to healing and wellness. my spirit was at a place of where I lived in the moment. And as a result, I saw, heard, felt, smelt the beauty in the world. The running helped me to free myself. My mind was no longer running the old films of residential schools and the mistakes I had made. My spirit was at a place where I lived in the moment, and as a result, I saw and heard and felt the beauty of the world and also of the people. I've met so many wonderful people running. It's all about fundraising for good causes, these 10K half marathon, marathon runs. So I just like to encourage you to find a way to move. If you are stuck in some unpleasant memories or depressed about your life, just go in for a walk for 20 minutes will help you. It does not require running 10K. Half marathon or marathon, just moving will help you. It'll affect your breathing. Your muscles will get more, they'll start to stretch and be more subtle, supple, you know, they'll be, you'll feel better. So that's my Run to Heal That Run story. When I was on my healing journey, I joined this group of people that were in a healing journey too. And we're going to travel to this other community to support others on their healing journey. And I was out early in the morning and running, and we're going to travel that morning. And I was heading back to where I was staying, and my friend stuck her head out the window and said, "Run, Sahil, said, run." And I started running. So we all have support. We can all do this. So I just want to thank you for listening to this podcast. And, you know, take the good out of it for yourself and share it with the people. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. I'm Adé Bensalahuddin, an evolutionary biologist in training. It was about 8 a.m. when I stepped off the bus from my overnight summer job, nearly home and ready to sleep. But a sound made me realize I had one more thing to do. A young American robin, still stuck in the chain link fence where I'd seen it 14 hours earlier. I don't normally intervene, but I'd told myself that if the bird was still there in the morning, I'd try to help. Donning gloves, I tried to gently pull the fledgling out, careful to not injure its wings. After a few attempts, the bird still wouldn't budge. As I paused to reassess, an older black lady approached from up the street. Understanding the problem, she whipped out a purple handkerchief and in 30 seconds dislodged the robin and passed it to me. The woman explained how she grew up in the rural South and had always wanted to become a veterinarian, but was dissuaded by her family before life took over. She said how happy she was to see me out there, and as the bird flew away with its mother, she remarked in awe, "God wanted us to meet this morning." I left with two things when we parted ways: a fond memory and that purple handkerchief, a torch passed from a generation of black naturalists who never got their chance. This week is Black Birders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag BlackBirdersWeek on social media and visit birdnote.org.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia. CJ